SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two at the races. Going to reach out to New York. Dave Greinig going to be here tomorrow, but there's things to worry about back there in New York, and that includes today's opening day at beautiful Belmont Park. Dave Greinig, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to seeing you here. Everybody's asking, where's Greinig?
Yeah. I'll be there. 3 o'clock
All
today.
Right. You seem unconvinced. It's opening day in New York. First question, which is a little self-serving. Do we have a turf answer yet?
Not yet. I'm not confident. I'm home. I'm a little bit east of Belmont. It's starting to rain earlier, and it's not at the moment. But it looks like it's going to get here. And the turf races are obviously later in the card for 7 and 9, I believe. 4, 6, 8, 9. Sorry, and I think by then we'll have full blown rain. So we'll see. They got lucky at Aqueduct. They carted 47 and ran all 47. Maybe they have some deal with Mother Nature that'll keep the rain away. But I'm not confident.
And so for now, still on turf.
For now, still on. Yeah. Long winded answer to answer your question. They are still on the turf as of now.
Well, before we talk about what's been a busy week in terms of infrastructure and the long-term plans at Belmont, I talked with Andy on Wednesday, and he made an interesting comment, wondering why they didn't stay another week, actually, at Aqueduct with the new turf course situation and take advantage of that for another week before and then opening next week at Belmont.
I don't know that I have the great answer for that, except I'm thinking that they prefer to have the Derby. Well, that's actually, I don't know. You need to ask Martin Pan to that question. I don't know, and I don't have a guess. So I don't have the answer for you.
Now, either way, getting started and some final thoughts about the winter and the spring at Aqueduct.
Final thoughts about the winter and the spring. Things need to change from, I think, a horseman's perspective if you are going to keep winter racing viable in New York. That's my big takeaway. They offer good money. No one seems to really want it. I understand there's a big workman's comp issue, and you're probably better versed in that as someone who has to pay it than I am. That's an issue that has to get resolved somehow. It's not an easy issue, but it needs to be tackled because the money's too good in New York to just, watch this type of racing for 3 straight months. And I think they need to come up with a better plan. And it's not going to get any better faster. It might get worse than it gets better. Conversely, the spring, it's a short meet. It was 13 days. They got lucky enough with the weather. It was a solid meet business-wise, and really it's because of the turf, as I mentioned before. They carted 47. They ran all 47. You get almost a horse and a half to 2 horses, larger field size on the grass, so people like to bet it. That's why that second turf course was put in there. I know people are like, well, they only use it twice a year, but they had a good fall with it. They had a good spring with it. It'll come in handy when this construction gets going at Belmont. So the second turf course at Aqueduct was a plus.
Well, we are leading into that question that you just alluded to, the construction at Belmont, and between the community advisory meeting and then your extensive conversation with Chris Kay, busy week, Dave, and a lot of interest in the way the project is coming together. And bring everybody up to speed. There had been some innuendo and rumors after the Islanders announcement, and now it feels like things are firming up.
Sort of, yes. At Tuesday, there was a community meeting at which the Islanders and their group sort of unveiled a second set of plans for what they want to do. When they were in December, right before they got awarded the plans, they showed their diagrams, and they had everything sort of on the racetrack side, and the across from Hempstead Turnpike, which is a lot that people are familiar with it right now, is basically houses cars for new car dealerships. That was supposed to just remain a parking lot, and you're going to have everything, including a hotel and the retail on the racetrack side. That has, after sort of looking at it a second, upon further review, if you will, they are now planning to move the retail over to that parking lot, have it all laid out there, including an underground parking garage. And then on the racetrack side, they're moving the hotel from, which I think this is I'm not even sure I know if there's a real reason for a hotel, but that's another story. But instead of having it on the outside of the grandstand there, where you would have a nice view of the racetrack, but would also have a nice view of the Long Island Railroad, and if they expand that, you would be hearing trains all the time, to now closer to Hempstead Turnpike, but depending on how it's laid out, it could encroach on the backyard a little bit. I've been told since then that, that's still a work in progress, too, so that these might not be the final plans, that this is sort of stage two, and we'll see what they get to in stage three. My concern about the retail is, and I really didn't get this until Tuesday night, a guy named Jason Katz, who's with Value Retail, which is a very upscale type of retail village that they have in London, and it's like they had the first, this group has the first, fourth, eighth, and tenth top retail villages throughout the world. And that's all fine and good. But we're talking about Elmont, New York here, which is 25 miles-ish from New York, from Manhattan. And he made it sound like people would actually get on a train in Manhattan and come out to Elmont to shop in this village. And I don't see that. I have a hard time seeing that. But, that's what they're saying. Anyway, on the flip side, you have Naira now wanting to do their own renovations. And Chris talked about stuff he wanted to do in the grandstand, which, all four floors he wanted to do something with. And then something that I hadn't heard before, they want to redo the whole, they want to sort of lift up all these racetracks and redo them again. And now he did say, because I did ask him, I said, are we keeping Belmont a mile and a half? And he said, yes. He said he doesn't want to get shot. So keeping the track the same, they're just going to refurbish the whole thing. Those plans, though, haven't been submitted. They need approval, and who knows when that's going to happen. They're hoping that by this time next year, the project with the arena is supposed to start break ground in May of 19. Chris said he'd like to sort of do this simultaneously with them. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to start in May. He actually gave me a time frame of July. But he'd like, hopefully get this started. But it's a long way from, it's still in the conceptual stages. It hasn't been submitted to any sort of franchise oversight board or New York Gaming Commission yet. So it all sounds good on paper, but we have to see how this all gets executed.
A couple of things, and the revelation about the way the main track could be completely taken up, the base completely refreshed, and that's a great thing. That's something that if we were to get Mick Peterson on and have him talk about it, the surface expert, he would totally endorse it. This is something Nehru explained to me years ago, that when racetracks have a problem, it's as the base ages. It's not what's going on top. It's what's going on down on the base on which the cushion is laid. And when you get fissures in the base, that's when you get dangerous sinkholes where horses can step, and it's they go further deeper into the cushion, and that's when injuries occur. So refreshing the base is a terrific idea, and then also taking up the turf courses. And we learned this, where was it? And I think it was at Fairgrounds, where the revelation that the hedgerows were soaking up all the moisture, and one of the things that was ruining the turf course, and you know, the ancient hedgerows that had, you know, there's things that go on in in the horticulture, Dave, that are always new to everybody. So this is a real positive. There's also the talk of putting an inner synthetic track in, which would be potentially used, you know, for parts of the winter, and when races came off the turf, you could put them on the synthetic. Where do you think that shakes out?
Yeah, I think that's a real possibility if they get all this, you know, if they get all this through. I think that, you know, it's 5-6 years away from the time I think that everything would be moved over to Belmont Park, but in order to conduct winter racing at Belmont, I don't think you necessarily want to be on the main track 10 months a year, and perhaps that's another reason why you're going to be using it more anyway, but that's another reason why you sort of need to redo it, because you're going to be there, even if it's, you know, you start, if you're able to start in April and maybe go through the end of November, you're going to be using that main track more. But I think the synthetic surface is, you know, would be a positive on a few fronts. You could, you know, like we said, the winter, the theory here in winter needs to change a little bit. Maybe if you get to a point where you have a synthetic track there, you get some people from Woodbine and Presque Isle who might, you know, take a second look at running in New York as opposed to going down to Florida, or maybe at least splitting it up. You might have some New York horsemen with turf horses that might say, hey, look, we'll leave a few extra here for synthetic. It would certainly help in the realm of, you know, races that come off the turf during the Belmont meets. You could, you know, maybe transfer them on the synthetic. And also, you can maybe have a few synthetic races if people, you know, give, you know, shake up the menu a little bit. So I think it's worth considering, probably worth doing. And I do think it'll happen. If this whole project gets on wheels, I think that'll be part of it, yes.
Let me also, Dave, get an update. I didn't get a chance to talk about it several weeks ago when the budget went through. I think I was in California, and when the New York State budget went through in Albany, the standardbred interests had managed to interject themselves into the plans for lights, something that NYRA really would like to have, and something that could, long-term after the renovation, having lights could lure the Breeders' Cup back to New York, for instance, for the prime time opportunity that you get with the Classic. So where's the latest on that? I mean, the standardbred, they've been a problem on this topic for a number of years.
One of NYRA's weak links through many administrations is their relationship with Albany, and oftentimes they come up on the short end of legislative changes. I think, you know, this group needs to sort of convince the legislators that this isn't harming the standardbred industry. I think it actually could help the standardbred industry. You've got more, if there's a night car on a whatever Thursday, Friday, or whatever it might be at Belmont, that's more eyeballs paying attention to what's going on. And, you know, they might look to the right, and on the screen to the right is Yonkers or they place a few bets on that. I think it's short-sighted from the standardbred industry to think that it's just going to eat them up. I think it actually could help them, and they could work on some things with NYRA on that. But, you know, it's a knee-jerk reaction, in my opinion, to think that it's going to harm them. So Chris, when I spoke to Chris the other day, he said it's a, you know, priority to try and get a point made through the legislators that, you know what, even if they don't like it, there's choice. He said, there's basketball and hockey going on in the same time. He said people have a choice to go to one of those events. They should have a choice to go to a thoroughbred or a standardbred meeting. And, you know, this whole myth that there was a quote, I think, from Pretlow, one of the guys on the racing, the legislator, the racing board, and not the gaming commission, but the legislator racing panel, says, well, the afternoons are for the standardbreds, and the thoroughbreds, and the nighttime is for standardbreds. You know, Yonkers runs on Sundays, on the afternoon. So maybe even Saturday too, I'm not sure. But that's a myth. And, you know, NYRA doesn't complain about it.
Well, and it's not as if Naira is proposing to run night cards all through the summer at Belmont, and then in the fall they're talking about using it the way Churchill does, with occasional specialty evenings, utilizing it as a special event. And you're right. I mean, the short sightedness involved here. You know, not to mention what's strange is that there's been this cooperation with the New York double, and so you would think that some conversations could have taken place. And I know that whenever there's budget negotiations in Albany, you know, the old three men in a room nonsense, and there's plenty of time for it. But I thought that was a step backwards, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think it'll get done. I don't know. Maybe there's something else the Standard Bread folks want that I'm not seeing, but I think it'll get done. And I would imagine that in next year's budget that it'll be there. But look, I could be, I've been wrong before. I could be wrong again.
Well, Dave, I wanted to get that out there for people that hadn't had a chance to get the updates, and we haven't talked about it for a while, and it's opening day at Belmont. I will also mention that you've been keeping an eye on Firenze Fire and the last New York horse. Give us some derby doings from your perspective.
Yeah, look, I think he's going to be the longest shot on the board and probably deservedly so. His races have sort of, gone. His form has sort of gone in reverse, and I don't know that anyone really is confident in his ability to get a mile and a quarter. Initially they had said that the last, he came out of that Wood Memorial effort a bit tired, but I guess it was encouraging to see him, last Saturday, I think it was really just supposed to be an open gallop, and toward the end of it, he started to take off a little bit. In fact, I timed the one furlong in like 11 and 4. So they actually, after I wrote that, I had timed him 3/8 and 39 and change, it wound up becoming published work. And initially, I was told it wasn't going to be, it wasn't designed to be a work, but it was. It was now, it'll now show up in the papers as a work. And I think he's probably going to do the same type of thing tomorrow and ship on Sunday. I don't know. Here's a horse that I would like to. I understand Ron Lombardi wants to run in the Derby, and look, how many times is he going to get a chance to go back? Probably never. So if you want to try it, I don't think he's not keeping anybody out. He's a Grade One winner too. He's earned his right to be there. I'm just hoping that running in the Derby doesn't, there's no ill effects for him, because I actually think he could be an effective horse to the point where, in the fall at Churchill Downs, there's a potential for him to be a live candidate for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, one-turn mile, which I actually think is what he's ultimately going to be best at.
No, I've expressed that, and I've been very happy for Lombardi. Not just that he gets here, he bred this horse, and he's come up through the ranks, starting out with claimers, and certainly Mr. Amore, and he deserves every opportunity, and I can't begrudge him. Meanwhile, Dave, some other quick thoughts. Any other horses that have been quietly plugging away before they come here this week? Some of the the fillies have pretty much come from Florida straight here, but who else domestically in New York has got some big interests?
I'd say there's a horse, Backyard Heaven. Horse of Chad Brown's,
yep.
I believe, shipped out there for the Ali Sheba, where he's got to run against Always Dreaming. This horse is pretty, he's an interesting horse. Maybe, I don't know if he'll fit that race, we'll see, but he ran a couple of nice races here in the wintertime. I think he has coming off a 108 buyer in a one-turn mile victory. He's quite interesting for that race. If you're against Always Dreaming, there's another, potential candidate. National Flag, I believe, also shipped from here to Kentucky. I guess he worked today with one of the Derby horses for the Pat Day Mile. His Bayshore was really solid. If he can take a step forward, he's obviously a big contender there. Minus Lily was here. I did not see her one work in New York before. I think Mark moved it up, and I wasn't there that morning because of the potential rain. So I know that he was there. She was there yesterday for a breeze. You're going to get a lot of the, deservedly so, Midnight Bizu, Monomoy Girl. Monomoy Girl beat Midnight Bizu. They're your top two choices. The one thing I think is in my Miss Lily's favor is the fact that she's one of the mile and eighth and looks to be one who wants every bit of it. So if you're looking to split those two top two favorites, you could do worse than a horse like My Miss Lily. And by the way, My Miss Lily is going to represent Mark Hennig's first starter at Churchill Downs in 10 years. Last time he ran a horse there was 2008. Little trivia, you can, when you go to the pub tonight, you can say, hey, do you remember, you know, you can quiz somebody and say, you remember the last time Mark Hennig ran a horse at Churchill Downs?
So it's not as long as the last time that Shug McGahee had run a horse at Fairgrounds, which even Shug couldn't remember. Dave, safe travels here, and looking forward to Derby Week with the full complement of the Daily Racing Form team, Mike Welsh, and we'll talk. He's taping a thing now. We'll talk to Jay Pridman later, and Dave, I'll have the donuts. Will be waiting for you.
Oh, great! Just what I need.
Dave Grenig, everybody. DRF Grenig on Twitter, and he'll be on in, and he'll cover some of the some of the action in terms of the undercard races. So Dave will get his opinions as we get closer and as the cards get drawn Monday for Oaks Day and Tuesday for Derby Day. Let's take a break, bottom of the hour, and I want to get a quick visit in with Jeff Franklin from Thoroughgraph. And Jeff has got, and Thoroughgraph has been doing something in New York, and I thought I'd tie it to the back end of Dave's visit. They've got a promotion that they introduced and have extended through May, and I want Jeff to talk about it. We introduced the whole amenities that the Thoroughgraph team had put together when it was introduced, but they've been doing learning and figuring out other things to do that players can appreciate. And of course, Thoroughgraph, one of our sponsors for Triple Crown season and everything you need to win. Thoroughgraph. Back after this with Jeff, then a little Ed DeRosa. We've got Hammer. We've got Doug Salvatore. Talk to Doug about the win candidates from his perspective, as well as the three best overlays and the three most notable underlays among the exotic candidates. We'll see what Doug's thoughts are. And Jay Priven as well. Second half, 90 in, 90 to come at the races. Sirius XM, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
You've got an open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence. But do you realize?
Back at the races, 20, a little more than 20 to the top of the hour. Ed DeRosa will join us on Bit and Hammer. Stay with us. And coming back out of the Dave Greinich visit and talking about what's going on in New York, one thing that's been going on in New York for a few weeks, and it got met with such a great reception that it's been extended through May, and back with Jeff Franklin from Thoroughgraph Player Services, and Jerry Brown and Jeff introduced this. It's been, I don't know, 6 months at least, and it's amenities for players, for serious players, and people that are hoping to become serious players. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. Excellent. Happy to
so
be here.
So am I allowed to chime in with just a little bit of Derby chatter before we move on to Thoroughgraph?
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
So you may recall, I was Gary Stevens' agent in 1988 when we won the Derby for Wayne Lucas's first Derby, Winning Colors. And about 10 years later, I was at I was out for dinner in Louisville, and Wayne and I shared a drink. By then, he had won the Derby, I think, four times, had a couple of bad beats. And we were talking about the criteria that it takes to win the Derby. And he said, Jeff, you know something? I can tell you one common denominator that all my Derby winners had and all my also-rans did not have, and the horses that should have won as well. And he said, here it is. They didn't miss a note from January 1st. And he said, if you use that as the basis of your handicapping, I'll bet you you're going to come up with your share of long shots, throwouts, and legitimate favorites. And his... You know, he went on to say all of those horses, literally, he would fill out the training chart the next day. They would train. No coughing, no weather interruptions, et cetera. And so it's a pretty useful guideline, I think, for a lot of us who are trying to take, you know, 15-plus contenders and whittle it down to, you know, a nice superfecta or something. So that's my two cents. I hope it's useful.
And it's very valuable and a terrific at a great juncture too to include that note, and I can distill it to John DeSantis's the maxim that Johnny has, which is no hiccups. It's basically fits that same scenario that for Johnny it literally could be, you know, the horse is changing bits because he had a toothache and he's got a tender mouth. And I mean, any, you know, Johnny doesn't believe in a minor setback.
He's right. And, you know, no surprise that, you know, and John and I cut our teeth together, no pun intended, you know, in California as agents. And in fact, we both were in Canterbury Downs the second year. I had Kenny Black, he had Sandy Holly, talking about the old days. So John would know, and of course he's also benefited from discussions with great trainers like Wayne Lucas, as I have. So it really helps to accelerate the throwouts. And you know, since Wayne told me that, I'd have to look back on my charts, but I don't know how many times that axiom has failed me. I'd have to go back and check, but I don't think it has. So there you go.
Well, we will have to, of course, we'll have to dig and go back and make sure we can figure out who might have missed a day or training here and there. But, this is also an area where those that track horses physically and can note horses that have gained weight, over the course of the winter and into the spring. And that becomes particularly notable between these final Derby preps and next Saturday. And, that a lot of times their horses will arrive here and people will say, ooh, he's lost weight since Oaklawn. Right. He's lost weight since the Bluegrass. And that reflects this issue.
Right. Very and much. So in particular, take a really, really nice horse like Bolt Doro, who Mick came out and said he lost a few days for this and that earlier in the year. That is a dark mark that I think he's going to have to overcome. And for guys that are not too familiar with Bolt Doro, boy, that's a running son of a gun. But I'm not going to use him in the top two or top three even perhaps for that reason.
I appreciate you adding that. And, of course, we appreciate what you and Jerry have done with Thoroughgraph Player Services. Remind those that may not have heard the first visit and may not be following along with the progress of the amenities program around the country, basically, as it grows, and in particular with this terrific New York promotion.
Sure. So let's wind back the clock. For years, Jerry has heard from so many of the Thoroughgraph players. He's got, I don't know how many thousands of them, and they've been saying, we're kind of tired of not getting the type of respect and service that the casinos afford their players. How come we can't get that from the racing industry and from our ADWs? And for about 4 years, I ran NYRA Rewards for NYRA, and we took it from about $100 million a year to about $250 million a year. Primarily with an accent and service, eventually brought in new technology, et cetera, et cetera. And extending that, I thought would be a great idea to offer that type of Vegas-style amenity and started talking to Jerry Brown about it. Well, 3 or 4 years went by. I'd moved on to a couple of other businesses, and Jerry and I kept in touch. And he asked me, look, would you mind putting this thing together? I think my players need it. And I said, I'd be happy to do it. And so I called my friends at NYRA, and I said, how about if in conjunction with Thoroughgraph, we roll out a new ADW? We'll expose it for the Thoroughgraph guys. We'll use a NYRA bet to provide all the operations, the great technology, the customer service, et cetera. It seems like a real win-win. And that was the background for Thoroughgraph Player Services. So all a guy has to do is, if he has a Thoroughgraph account, he logs in, he clicks the banner right in the middle of the page, it takes him to the betting pane, he signs up, and immediately his Thoroughgraph account and his NYRA Bets account are linked forever. And what that entitles him to, even before this promotion, is great rebates, personal account managers, the amenities program that you talked about earlier, that basically gives you on-track perks at all the NYRA tracks, at Keeneland, at Oaklawn, at Del Mar. So when you go on track, you contact them directly. You say, I'll be showing up, and tickets are waiting. Depending on your user class, you might get parking, free dining room table, program forms, et cetera. It varies from track to track, but it's just a great program and has been wildly successful so far. But the big X factor for us really came on a couple of months ago when we worked with NYRA to try to figure out a way to get free Thoroughgraph product in the players' hands in exchange for a little bit of betting. And, ADW margins ain't what they used to be, so we had to be pretty careful. But we came up with a promotion. We called it Thoroughly NYRA. Here's how it works. You bet $100 on any track that you want through your TGPS account. And the next day, there's a $25 NYRA credit sitting in your Thoroughgraph account. So you bet $100 on Wednesday, any track. On Thursday, you can download a free $25 Thoroughgraph product, or you can use it whenever the heck you want to. So the credits don't expire. They can be used on any track, any NYRA track at any time. And it is just the best way for existing players to take some of their handle that they might be distributing amongst three or four ADWs and use it to their best interest and favor by saying, okay, I'm going to bet through my NYRA Bets TGPS account. I'm going to get those free sheets, and I can do this all through April. Well, that was the original promotion. And I thought I was pretty good at knowing ADW. I used to be president of UBet.com. I ran ExpressBet for a couple of years. I ran NYRA Rewards, as I said. But the results since we launched the promotion, how's it the Brits say, have gobsmacked me. The response has been stunning. So NYRA is aware, and NYRA Bets is aware of the results as well. So we've said, we have to let the guys enjoy this during May. And if the results continue, who knows? This may be a permanent thing. So that's the hope. And so for the new guys in particular, this is a whale of an opportunity, because you will also be receiving the usual sign-up bonus from both Thoroughgraph and NYRA Rewards in conjunction with this promotion. So how does that work? Any day you bet $25, you get a $25 Thoroughgraph credit the next day. NYRA Rewards has a bet 200, get 200. So if you're a new guy, oh my gosh, now's the time to really open up the account and enjoy this, because I've calculated if you bet actively from now till the end of May, you're getting about $1,000 in cash, in pre-Thoroughgraph sheets, et cetera, et cetera. Hell of a deal. And I'm really proud to talk to the fans about it, because we've worked so hard with all the tracks who are embracing it, all the top players who we listen to their input and say, what the heck is it that you need? They said, this is what we'd respond to. So, you know, bet $100 on opening day at Belmont. Tomorrow there's, you know, free sheets for the weekend for you.
Very cool.
So that's how it works.
No, it's great, Jeff. And this was, I know for years, I mean, that Jerry that was rattling around in his head, and there's no shortage of things rattling around in there, but this one spilled out.
Yes, and it did, and I'm sorry to kind of wax on so much about it, but I'm really excited, and having seen the numbers, I know the guys are too, and so I got to reach out and thank the hundreds and hundreds of all of you that have signed up. I know many of them are listening to this right now, and are on our bulletin boards and have contacted NYRA Bets and thanked them. So I think we've hit a sweet spot. It's great.
Well,
and
all
so
you gotta
again,
do...
to sign up, all somebody has to do is, if you're already a Thoroughgraph customer, just log on, like you're ordering product, click on the banner in the middle of the page, and you can see a blue sign-up button where you can sign up for NYRA Bets. And as I said, after you sign up, you don't have to do anything else. It's all automatic. You can bet through the NYRA Bets mobile product. You can bet right there on that same link you'll get through Thoroughgraph.com. You can even go to NYRA Bets, because after that, your account is linked forever, and you'll be automatically entitled to all the great perks. And there's going to be a lot more coming. Jerry's also given away a few free seminars here and there, like Travers last year and things. Gave the Breeders' Cup to some guys. That's valuable product.
Absolutely. The other question that comes to mind too, from the time we talked last when you introduced the Thoroughgraph Player Services, how many more jurisdictions now that NYRA Bets is available?
Oh, great question. I don't have the number offhand, but I think that it's now accepted in something like 25 to 28 states. And I talked to them just a couple days ago. There's a couple that they've filed for additional licenses. For example, Pennsylvania right now, they're not taking, I'm sad to say. But, you know, most of the other states that the major ADWs are covering can sign up. So if somebody were in California, Illinois, Florida, New York, whatever it should be, go to Thoroughgraph.com, sign up, and away you go. And if you don't have a Thoroughgraph account, set one up. It'll take you maybe a minute. It's just as simple as name, email address, and you don't need Social Security or any of that stuff. You set up your login credentials, and away you go. And then after you've done that, you log in and go through the same process, and you become a TGPS member.
Excellent. Well, Jeff, look forward to seeing you down the road, and we'll talk again, check in with you again soon, and we'll tell people so often. And I can't. Everything I do at the Windows, the Thoroughgraph is instrumental to any success ever that I have. And I wouldn't. It's everything you need to win is right. And now, while you're winning, you'll also be treated really well by the tracks that are working with you. And in this case, the Naira Bets program that is extended through May. Go to thoroughgraph.com. And Jeff, best of luck on Derby. If you get any other clever ideas, let me know.
Okay, Steve. Thanks, and appreciate the time, and good luck to everybody.
Jeff Franklin from Thoroughgraph Player Services, and Jeff has got a lot, as he indicated. I mean, going from his days at on the racetrack as an agent, including winning the Derby with Gary Stevens as his rider, with Winning Colors, not a bad thing to have on your racetrack career resume. And he's been working on this end of the business for many, many years. We'll take a break here coming up toward the top of the hour. Got to get Eddie over here for a minute, and we'll also check in with Hammer, of course, and talk about the weekend from his perspective. See if he's changed his mind, if he's going to make a – sometimes he'll do it. He'll make that end run when you least expect it. Hammer turns up, Derby or wherever. We'll check in with Doug Salvatore and get Doug's win candidates a week out, as well as who he thinks is going to be underlaid and overlaid among the exotic candidates. You know, that's one of the, it's funny that, you know, you may have your win candidates lined up and you may know exactly who you want to key. But then if you're going to build your exacta tri super and even high five ticket, it gets very murky. And all of a sudden, you know, you start counting them up. 11, 12, 13. I mean, which horses are, you know, are you going to take out of your plays? I mean, you can't. I mean, I guess some people can bet them all if you got the bankroll, but most of us can't. So we'll see what Doug thinks and Jay Pridman before we wrap up today as well. We're live at Churchill Downs. It's been a great first week. Mentioned Thoroughgraph, one of our sponsors, of course, the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association. And there's a pair of Pennsylvania bred races that caught my eye tomorrow. You've got the Lyman and going 7/8, and you've got the Foxy, right? The Foxy JG tomorrow? Yeah, the Foxy JG as well. Both 7/8 for the Philadelphia bred fillies and mares, and for the boys. And got to also mention Virginia and the Virginia Equine Alliance. And, of course, the deal closed on Wednesday at Colonial Downs. Revolutionary Racing, the new owner, Colonial Downs. Jacob's family is done, and that means we can move forward into the future in Virginia. Speaking of Virginia, where, of course, the Chasers, you've got Glendon, the Maryland Hunt Cup, the biggest timber race of the season, 100,000 tomorrow, and a nice field assembled. Back after this, Ed DeRosa or maybe Hammer, not sure yet.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Is this the end of the Apollo curse? Undefeated Justify or Magnum Moon could become the first since 1882 to win the Derby without racing as a two-year-old. Of course, 18 others will enter the Louisville starting gate. What are their odds of extending the spell? Begin your search for enlightenment with ExpressBet's Kentucky Derby Wager Guide. It's available free online at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, April 27th. Horse Player Now's Bob Neumeier. XBTV.com's Jeff Siegel and Millie Ball. Daily Racing Form's Dick Girardi. Santa Anita's John White. And At the Races radio host Steve Bick analyze the race according to main contenders, value plays, and $100 wagering strategies. Plus, get intriguing stats, trends, and daily updates you won't find anywhere else. NBC's Eddie Olchek joins experts in a revised guide version May 3rd. Go to ExpressBet.com and get the guide to open a new account and to choose your bonus of up to $500 in time to wager on the Derby.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.